Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Let's Talk Truth, and I'm your host, Lois. And we're here this evening to have another dynamic show for you to share in. And today, Let's Talk Truth is going to explore what a person should do when you're dealt a bad hand. We're talking about our bad hand dealt at birth. When you have a bad hand, do you throw it in or do you play with it? If you're dealt a bad hand, does it change? And if so, when does it happen? And who can you blame for the hand that you hold, whether it's good or bad? For all of you card players out there, whether you're good at playing cards or whether or not, you know that when you are playing cards, and back in the day when we used to play spades and different games like that, we would always look at our hands and say, man, I got a bad hand. Well, sometimes we feel that way about our life on a day-to-day basis, and you would be surprised at how many people feel that way about their lives. So today we're going to talk about that, whether or not we've been dealt a bad hand. And we have some guests in our studio today. We're going to have in our audience, we have Miss Shannon Goodspeed. Let's give Shannon a hand. All right. Well, thank you so much for that welcome. Shannon is, she's been on the show once before. She's an executive with one of the largest banks in the United States of America, and she has a tendency to deal with people on a day-to-day basis, personalities, and all of this, these things come from knowing whether or not you've been dealt a bad hand, because sometimes our personalities and our attitudes reflect what we're working with. And again, one other thing, we have Mr. Motivator. He's back in the building. Okay, all right, Mr. Motivator in the building. So we thank him for being here today. And so we're going to make them feel as comfortable as we can. And we're going to start to talk and do whatever it is we do. We don't want to entertain you. We want to inform you. So we're not going to say we're here to entertain you, because we're not. Actually, we don't believe in entertaining. We want to inform you or educate you. All right. And also, we're one other person has just walked in to join us, and we want to welcome Louise. And she's here this evening. We're going to ask her to come on around. Come on around, Louise, so we can sit down and enjoy. So we should have a wonderful, wonderful show this evening. And as I said before, our bad hands dealt at birth. What are you working with? Now, as I say when I open any show, I will say this. I am not here to preach to you. This is not church. But based on our title, we're here saying, let's talk truth. We want to absolutely tell the truth and make you look at things at an angle that you wouldn't normally look at it. So we're here, like I said, to inform you. And if we're going to inform you and we're going to get down to the truth of the matter about anything, God has to be the center of that truth. So we are going to work at making sure we come about with the truth, because as I say in every broadcast, if what you're talking about does not line up with the Word of God, then it's not truth. It's merely your opinion. And sometimes we hear too many opinions when it comes to life situations. So we're going to get started here talking about bad hands and are they dealt at birth. So I'm going to throw this general question out there, and the one of you who wants to answer this question, all we need you to do is just, you know, speak up. So, what will make a person aware that they've been dealt a bad hand? How would an individual know that they've been dealt a bad hand? What are they comparing their life to? Any one of you that wanna address this, what would make a person say that in the first place? So where would that come from?
Hello, everyone. I think this is Shannon speaking, and I think what would make them know they're being dealt a bad hand would be knowledge, because you don't know that it's not normal, for example, children who are beaten. If you're very small, you don't know that's not the normal thing until you realize you grow up and you are educated and you know that that's not the normal thing to do. Knowledge makes you aware of it. Basing it on the lives of those around you and their circumstances, or you can see your peers who are of your same age group, same ethnic background, or same background period, and you all come up and, you know, you have one that's very successful, you have another who is not successful at all. You know, you have one in the project, one in the mansion. So you compare yourself to your surroundings, how the outcome of you and your peers are, number one, based on knowledge, like I said before, when you become aware of what is the norm based on society, that's how you know you're being dealt a bad hand. Or anything that doesn't feel comfortable to you. I mean, God put something in you that makes you know something is not right. Okay. You know, you may not say anything about it or vocalize it, but deep down you feel, you know, this can't be right. So that's what I think.
Okay. All right. Mr. Motivator, give me your...
I feel that with a lot of things that's going on, sometimes we can either take personal observation and look at the number of people sometimes who commit suicide, who kill themselves, who decide that, hey, things just don't work for me. Everything I try to do, everything fails. I look at all my friends, my family members. Everyone has had a great life, and it just doesn't work for me. When I try to pick people that would be great for a relationship, and then I ended up getting either married or engaged, and everything just didn't work out. Everything failed. I've been married 5 or 6 times. I think that my hands have been cursed. I think that nothing works right for me. And so I think sometimes people look at the situations that they deal with and look at a lot of the failures, and when they compare themselves to other people, they feel like I was just dealt with some bad hands. And there's nothing I can do to change it. And I've even heard people, when I was young growing up, I would hear people have a flat tire or different things happen. They say, if it ain't one thing, it's another. If it wasn't for bad luck, I would have no luck at all.
These are things that people say, and I think sometimes that they say it so much, and they internalize it, and they actually believe that, but it's not true.
Okay. Mr. Motivator, Louise, you got anything you want to say on that, or are you going to wait for later on down? If you want to, that's up to you. If you want to have something to say on that, come on, go right ahead.
Okay, what I would like to say on this is sometimes when you're in a family and you have more than one sibling and you feel like you've been dealt a bad hand because you feel like maybe some of your siblings got the talents and the looks and all that, and you're kind of in the middle, and you're not, you don't have any of that. So it's just like you're kind of overshadowed between, you overshadowed because you're sitting in between the kids that's got the talent and the ones that's got the look. So you feel like you've been dealt a bad hand. So all through life, you feel like, well, hey, I don't have anything going for me, so I feel like, you know, I don't really have anything, so I have a bad hand.
All right. Now, I'm gonna jump right in here, and I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, because what we think about ourselves is not always true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, and I think Ms. Shannon mentioned it earlier. She said knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That I think knowledge is the key. Understanding who we are is key, because we are faced with two different entities every day, good and evil. Well, evil is always going to talk you down. Evil is always going to say things about you. And is evil true? Evil is a liar. So whatever they tell you that's negative about yourself, it's a lie.
Yes.
Now, Mr. Motivator mentioned people committing suicide. A person that commits suicide doesn't know that the situation that they're in is temporary. It's not going to last. So I feel like we have allowed society to dictate too much into our lives, and thereby saying, I was dealt a bad hand. I'm gonna say this. I feel like every person that was born with a potentially good hand.
Yes.
But it's the lack of knowledge about that hand that allowed you to be pulled and swayed in different directions that caused you to know. Because who in the world is society?
Yes.
Who says that your peers have the right thing going on? What's wrong with a person living in a shotgun house and the other one living in a mansion? Does that mean that the mansion means you're a better person? See, this is what I'm talking about. When we're saying let's talk truth, we need to get down to the nitty-gritty. I remember a song that we sang in the church, and I think the Williams brothers sang it, I'm Just a Nobody. Trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this man says, I'm a nobody. You know where he is? On the street.
Yes.
He said, I'm on the street day and night. People look down on him because he doesn't have a home. But just because he doesn't have the kind of home, that man was obviously doing the will of God.
Yes.
Out there. So he was so much blessed than the people he was trying to talk to. So this is what I think we need to first, like Shannon said, like Mr. Motivator said, it takes some knowing who you are before you try to say you have a bad hand. Now, what about, have y'all ever played cards, right? Suppose you're playing for quarters. And you have a bad hand. Are you going to throw your hand in?
No.
And lose your quarter?
That's if you don't know anything about quarters, you will.
Oh, exactly. Now, she just proved my point. If you don't know anything about life, yes, you will say that I've been dealt a bad hand. But if you know anything about cards, what are you going to do, Ms. Shannon?
You're going to bluff.
You're going to bluff it out. See, this is what I'm saying. You got to know how to work your jelly. Come on, Shannon.
I would like to say, in the defense of other people, everybody is different. And I'm going to use two carnal things. You said earlier, you know, one lives in a shotgun house, one in a mansion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where you're from, it's where you're at. And that means mentally,
mm-hmm.
emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have, we're all born with something in us that God innately gives us in our mother's womb. But it's something that has to be nurtured in a person. It's not, it can lie dormant and get smothered like a fire. You can have a little candle lit, but if you don't have enough oxygen flowing to that flame, that candle's going to go out. So it's the same thing with human beings. Another thing I want to use is perception. in the corporate world we use all the time, my perception is my reality because it's what I can physically see. Now, people take, I'll use at a young age, because when you are dealt, when people say, I was dealt a bad hand, it's been from when they were little. If you don't know anything, people think, oh, when you teach your children to imagine, do you know that God put imagination, that's like a form of faith, believing in something you can't see?
Mm-hmm.
So you're really, in essence, grooming that gift of faith in your child by teaching them to believe in something that they can't see that's there.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
If you don't nurture that in that person, their perception is their reality. They can only go by what they see because they don't know how to believe in anything different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I a firm believer that God, once you remove from a situation, will God make a way to show you there is something different than what you know? Yes. At that point, it is up to you to choose whether or not you're going to walk away from the poker table or play your cards. Because, you know, but then again, a lot of people, number one, fear of the unknown, because Satan is very shrewd. He'll use something from when you were small to affect you when you're older, make you not trusting. So you're not going to believe anything anyone says. I don't care how good and golden, deep down in the back of your mind, you're going to think, okay, what's the catch? You become very skeptical of everything. So, you know, I don't think that everybody will have the sense or the ability within them to say, you know what, this is a bad hand, but I can't let anybody at the table know it's a bad hand. I'm going to, most of America nowadays is lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants anything that comes hard. And people say all the time, anything worthwhile is worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
That's whether it's a relationship, your walk with Christ, anything. But if you don't have it in you to fight and say, I want to be better than where I was, it's not going to work, because a lot of times people don't think they can do better. Because on one hand, you have somebody telling you, oh, you can do it, you can do this. That's hard for you to believe when the remainder of the world is reminding you that you're trash.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be realistic. And this also falls on the fact that, you know, there's a lot of people with bad hands dealt. But it wouldn't get out of control if we went back to how things were. The church don't walk out and, you know, be nosy no more. You know, that's why God put gifts in the church. Discernment. You too busy talking about Sister Jean, because you can't see the fact that this little baby down here is not doing right in his home. We don't walk, we don't help anybody anymore. We don't counsel anymore without being messy. That's the problem. Girl, I want to know what's going on with her, girl. I know it's something. Then her business spread through the church. Instead of you saying, I want to know, how can I help this child? How can I help not only the child, but the mother or the father, whomever's in charge of them? Because we don't realize there's these bad hands that are dealt or passed down. Her mom had a bad hand. She dealt a bad hand to her daughter, and then a passed down on and on and so forth. That's how you kill a line of folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't have it in us anymore to say, you know what, let me see what I can do. First of all, let me seek God and find out what's the best approach. Because if anybody can get through to that person, that's God, because he made us all. He know what we've been through. He know what it will take. Like me, I'm a person big on words. If you talk about me, that angers me, which will lead me to other things to you. That's my trigger. So somebody else's trigger may be something else. But me, I can bounce back. You can call me ugly all day long. Really? Are you serious? But that word ugly may mean, you know, what's a rock to me may be a pebble to someone else, and vice versa. So we have lost connect with what we're supposed to really be doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And these bad hands, if you go all the way back, slavery, that was a bad hand. Tell me what.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't mean that I want to go pick cotton and get whooped and do that. I want to do better than what I've known. My past has shown me. But everybody doesn't have that in them. It's up to that person to say, or somebody to show that person, you know what? You may have had a mother who was on drugs that took you to the dope house while she did drugs, or sold your body up to the dope man so she could get her drugs. Or just, I know people with these stories. But it's up to you to make a conscientious decision and say, you know what, do I want to live out my life like I've lived? Now, me personally, I wasn't dealt a bad hand at all. Did some things come through that my life that kind of rocked me a little bit, made me upset? Yeah, but it wasn't a bad hand. Not at all. I was blessed. But at the same token, I'm 38 years old. I said 2 years ago, God promised you what, 3 score and 10? That's 70. I refuse to live my next 30 years like I lived my past 30. And if I can make that decision without a bad hand, I can imagine that someone with all that adversity, all that turmoil, whatever baggage they're carrying, I can imagine they don't want to do the same thing, because we always want to be better than our mothers and fathers. I have a great mother, but my goal is to be better than my mother. I don't have any children, but if I had some, I want to be a better mother to my child than my mother was to me. You always want to strive to do better than what you know. But I know that because it was nurtured in me. But if you don't have it nurtured in you, again, your perception is your reality. What you see, what you've been told, what you know, and what has been just driven into you, you know, practice makes perfect. You tell a child they're ugly long enough, they're going to believe they're ugly. You tell a child they're bad long enough, they're going to believe they're bad, and they're not going to know anything else or know anything better to do. That's even with human beings. I can take children out of the aspect, adult women and men. People think because you're an adult that you can't, you can be psychologically manipulated. I see people do it all the time. So it's up to us to nurture what's in people that we know. You know, you meet somebody by chance. I met a lady at my job, and I was in the restroom just washing my hands. And I was led, I don't know why, I looked at her and I felt such a sadness about her, as if like she was really uncomfortable in her own skin. So I looked over and I said, oh, I love that blouse. I said, when are you going to let me borrow it? Never met a lady in my life. Her face lit up. This one, oh, you like it? I'll let you borrow it. I said, no, because you won't even get it back. But I wanted to show her, you know, show her something beautiful about herself, because it's evidence of her body language, the way she acts, everything. She didn't think of herself as beautiful. So, I mean, you know, and now today's age, you can't walk up on nobody and say, you know, you're so pretty. They're like, oh, no, this girl coming on to me. But I didn't want her perception to be that I was hollering at her. So I told her blouse is beautiful. But that changed her whole demeanor. You have to be able to listen to God, or at least hear him sometimes. Shut up and listen sometimes. And we've lost that. That's why all these bad hands, it's getting progressively worse. Look at the news, look at the internet, media, everything. If it's not a sexually transmitted disease, it's somebody killing somebody. Children killing their parents, parents killing their children, back and forth, back and forth. Why? Because ain't nobody stopped to say, you know what, excuse me, sister, you had a bad hand. You were a product of a molested household. Listen, you ain't got to beat on your sons and daughters like this. Come on, cry in my bosom, let's get it out. Let's go over it, and then you'll never have to hear it again. But people are afraid to say something because if I tell you, you're going to tell him, he's going to tell Mr. Motivator, going to tell Ms. Motivator, and everybody going to run around, and everybody going to know eventually I'm going to have a big old, you know, like a scarlet letter, an A on my chest. So I just had to get that out. Just so a little passionate about it. Just wanted to share that aspect. I do apologize to the audience, but I just, you know, I'm really adamant about that.
Okay, Miss Shannon. So she's talking about bad hands being dealt that are bad, and our perception being our reality, and I agree with her 100%. But still, we have to get down to what is true and can change that. Mr. Motivator, come on.
You're right. We got to get down to what's true and look at things. And one thing in reality, what I do know, in reality, it's true. For those people that go to the bathrooms and use the bathroom facilities and refuse to wash their hands before they go back to work or before they leave the restroom, let me say this. You do have bad hands. In fact, you have stinky hands. There's no excuse for that. But other than that, thank you. But other than that, as far as the conception mm-hmm. that you were born with bad hands, that your hands have been cursed, that is all in a state of mind. Mm-hmm. And I remember this young man who did very well in one of my classes. In fact, this young man always scored high, and he was so positive. And I talked to the young man, and I asked him, I said, who inspired you? What helped you to be the way you are? And the young man told me, he said, Mr. Motivator, I can remember when I was around 3 or 4 years old, my parents bought me my first train. And that train
when I plugged it in, it would go, I think I can. Woo-hoo! He said that stayed with him. He said that stayed with me all through the years. I could hear that train saying, I think I can. And he said, I always think that I can before I give up. That young man inspired me because I think it goes back to our program. Mm-hmm. In fact, on the when your limo driver stopped us this evening at the station to get some gas, and I went in to get some change, there were some men arguing. And it just, I was thinking about what they were saying. All of them were in front of the counter, and one man said, man, if I had your hand, I cut mine off. Then the other one said, no, if I had his hand, I cut mine off. And he said, no, if I had your hand, I cut your hand off. And then Bobby was the one to reach up, and he paid for everybody's food or whatever was over the counter. And then all of them said, no, if we had Bobby's hand. But the truth of the matter is, we all have the same hand. But it's what do we believe? What do we speak to our hands? What do we say about our hands?
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at your hands and say, hey, you are wonderful, and whatever you touch is going to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I do with my hands is going to leave an impact because my hands are special. I think it starts first with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It does. And let me ask you another question, because I see a lot of young women.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I deal with a lot of young teenagers and young adults, male and female. Do you know how it is now in when you find young adults, females that are so promiscuous? But if you try to tell them about it, only thing they say is, well, you know, I haven't had this all my life, and people look down on me all my life, and so what am I supposed to do? Do you find, or do you believe, any of you, that people use these bad hands as an excuse to do what they want to do? Do you think they use that as an excuse a lot of the time? Do you? Anybody got a comment?
Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of times when people want to do something and they want to be able to keep doing what they want to do and don't want to have to stop doing it, they just use those bad hands as an excuse to
mm-hmm.
keep doing what they know that they need to not do. So for all these people out here that you got to make up your mind that, hey, if you're tired of doing something, then you can't keep going back saying, well, I came up from a bad home and all that as an excuse as why you go out and commit murder and all these other things, because that's not a good excuse, because there's a lot of people that was dealt with a bad hand, but they didn't go out and commit these heinous crimes. They
mm-hmm.
just decided that, hey, I want to go the opposite way and do good.
You're absolutely right. Shannon?
I don't believe that promiscuity is a result of a bad hand being dealt. Half of Americans are not in touch with their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Half of these young girls laying out with these gentlemen are looking for love in all the wrong places. They think that's the only thing they have to offer. It all backs up from low self-esteem. They don't know their self-worth. Nobody ever told them their self-worth. So they feel like, I have to give this up. You know, I'm going to give this up. They can pretend all day long. It just feels so good. That little 2 minutes don't last you but just a second. And you pop out with a baby or a disease. So just be honest about it. It has nothing to do with them being dealt a bad hand, because I know some of the richest young little girls are highly promiscuous.
Mm-hmm.
And they have servants and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with it. It's about living on the edge. It also has to do about, again, with the knowledge of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because most young people don't believe in mortality. They don't see an end to their life right up front.
Mm-hmm.
Most young people do not judge their actions based on this could take me out of here because they feel they have forever because they're young. They don't really stop and think about it until it happens to them. Now, think about this. When I was in school, there was a lot of promiscuous girls when I was in school. A lot of them. But nobody think about it until a boy in the high school class died from AIDS, like 2 months after we graduated. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, everybody's thinking, Lord, now you want to close your legs. Now you're nervous. People don't think until it hits close to them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my perception is my reality. Things don't become real so they can see it. It's all based off of faith. People don't believe in anything anymore but what they see and what they know. So until it happens to you, until it happens to someone close to you, you know, everybody, no one wanted to march on the cancer march until somebody's mama died of cancer. Oh, my mom has breast cancer. I march every year. But it took your mama to get it for you to be real for you, for it to be real for you. These little girls walking around, oh, I ain't gonna never get caught. They had a whole school where the little girls had herpes in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Sores, all of them swabbed down. You, here you are, syphilis. They passing around. Anytime there is a public service announcement on my television interrupting my show to tell me that syphilis and HIV is on the rise within the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, are you serious? You're doing a public service announcement? And then come along here with the knowledge of a young lady who they got killed, who had HIV. Now everybody's starting to look at statistics. Statistically, within the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, there are 60% of all African-American women from the age of, let's say, 18 to 30, they have HIV status. But they're not thinking about that until it happens to them. They go get tested, and all of a sudden they're sick and don't know why they keep getting this cold and they can't never get rid of it, or they lose weight at a rapid pace, or their faces got these bruises and they don't understand why that's happening. Close your lid. Because can't nobody tell them, Beverly, love yourself. Don't do this. Oh, I can do what I want to do because it is. People say that's the excuse, but if you really got them down to the nitty gritty and took little Beverly in a room by herself and told her you stare at yourself in this mirror for a good 5 minutes, she couldn't do it because she don't love herself. She doesn't know her self-worth. Again, we have lost track here in the church. The church don't go out and heal people anymore. This whole entire world needs healing. There's too many people running around. These bad hands wouldn't even affect they may affect you for that moment, but it wouldn't carry over so much baggage into everything else if we had somebody in place. You know, back in the day when my mom was growing up, there were kids, incest was big back then. It's no secret. Incest was big back then. Thank the Lord, my mother wasn't a secret. But at the same token, if one of the teachers knew that Lula Mae was getting molested, the teacher would notify the principal. They all go over there and do an intervention. But now you don't have that. You have to come to school with a group. If I whoop my daughter, and because she's outside in the middle of the night with some boys, and now you want to call CPS.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to call. But see, we have this thing twisted around.
Mm-hmm.
That's why these bad hands are there, because, number one, we stopped parenting. She made me sick. I don't do what she's going to do anyway. I didn't have that option. I had to deal with my mama said, I got a whooping. And Lord knows you don't want that whooping.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank God to this day for every whooping my mama gave me. When I was young, I thought it was so unfair. I miss. And I look at those children who never knew what it was like to get a whooping. And now that I'm old, I see when she stopped talking to me, that means she didn't care anymore. But the fact that she stayed on me, that means she didn't want me to be a statistic. And that's what we have here, a bunch of statistics walking around. These bad hands are dealt, they're statistics that people just have let slide. You know when you see a crackhead mother and have her child, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you see a crackhead mother and she's doing the wrong thing with her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Get in there. Say something.
Yeah.
Do something. If you have to pad up one of your rooms and lock our mom in there until she screams and shake that crack out of her, or whatever the case may be, everybody has to have an active hand in it. And there won't be any more bad hands. Or you can interject into that life enough of that person for when they get older, they can say, you know what? Don't nobody know how to have, don't, no one has to know I had a bad hand. I'm a bluff.
Then they'll know what it is to bluff, because they've had some semblance of light. Some semblance of light.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just how I feel about it.
All right. Well, I thank you so much, Shannon. Shannon, you are awesome. You are awesome, and you're giving me an insight from a perspective, you know, I guess a younger group. And that insight is awesome, because now are you all afraid? And frankly, I'm afraid. We're talking about being dealt a bad hand. I'm afraid now for the people that's got to lead us into the future. I'm really afraid, because I don't know of any. I was dealt a bad hand, but I didn't know it was a bad hand. Do you know I didn't know I was poor? And that's a good thing. I can remember my mom getting a check for a full week's work. You know how much that check was? $28.
For a week?
That was a week's work. But guess what?
I believe it.
We didn't miss a beat. We had a car. We had a roof over our head. We had food. We had money to take to school. Actually, people thought we were wealthy. They thought we were wealthy. But they didn't know that my mom used the Dolly Parton song, The Coat of Many Colors,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you get clothes,
mm-hmm.
you know, your hand-me-down clothes from your rich people in town,
mm-hmm.
and my mama would make me a dress, but when I stepped out in school, they didn't know my mama had just made that dress,
because
she would iron it, and man, I looked like I stepped out of Vogue. But nobody knew we were poor. We carried ourselves. We didn't walk around poop. We bluffed. But the thing of it is, we didn't know we were bluffing.
Because your mama groomed you that
day. Yes, we went, and everybody thought, I promise you, I was talking to my cousin, who is a couple of months older than I am. She was telling me how pretty I used to be. You know, when we were little, she said, you were so pretty, she said, and your legs were just beautiful. She said, I used to go home and try to walk like you. Now, I didn't know that. Why didn't somebody tell me that when I was young? You know, I would have felt better about myself. But I didn't know that we were poor. I didn't know that when my mom would sew day and night to make our clothes, and we got two pairs of shoes a year, one at Christmas and one at the beginning of school. But we were happy. But now we've gotten these bad hands, and somebody tells you when you're little, you're an infant. Gary, you've been dealt a bad hand. So babies come up saying, I've been dealt a bad hand when they barely walking. How do you know it's a bad hand? What are you comparing it to? How do I know that what I'm wearing is not what everybody is wearing? You find people now who go in debt to buy their kids school clothes. It's not enough anymore just to have school clothes. They've got to be Gucci, and what are some of these name brands? I don't have young kids that I buy stuff for anymore. So
you have Mecca, you have Academics, you have so many different things.
But the thing of it is, what are these things that, you know, so why are we doing all this stuff? What is happening to us? We're not teaching our kids to believe. Do you know you only have that one hand? You got to either play it or die. Okay?
I think you hit up on a good point, Lois. What are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching ourselves? It seems that we're teaching them that you have to put yourself in a bad position. You have to go beyond. You got to buy whatever everybody else is buying, even if it's going to put you in a strain, put you in debt because you want to look a certain way. Instead of, as you said, teaching your kids to be appreciative of what they have and to make the best of that. And when we instill that in our kids, they won't look at their hands as being bad hands or they've been dealt with some bad hands, and therefore they need to just give up. We shouldn't teach people to give up. In fact, Lois, I was thinking when we were in school, we didn't have a lot. When we started the school, all we had was some silver buckets up. And we put some cornbread and some biscuits and a piece of meat, and we were just as happy. But nowadays, everyone wants to look a certain way, and they're trying to be like somebody that they can't be, or they're trying to be like someone who's basically an image, not a real person. We try to compete to be like the images. When we try to compete to be like the images on TV, we miss it. We lose it somewhere. So I think we have to appreciate what we have and work with that and have the determination, the will, the strength, and the persistence to say, hey, it has nothing to do with the hands I've been dealt with. It has something to do with how I use the hands that I've been dealt with. As Ms. Shannon said earlier, how do you play the game to win?
That's right. Okay, come on, Louise.
Okay, my question is, how do you know if your hand is really bad, you know? Basically, what do you compare your hand with? Because your hand may not be as bad as you think it is. When you look around at other people, and you may see that their hand may be somewhat worse than your hand. Mm-hmm. That's just like kids growing up, and they thinking that they have such a terrible home and things are going real bad for them at home, but when they go out and they compare their home life with maybe some of their classmates, they come to realize that things are not as bad as they thought it was. Because sometimes when you look on the other side and you think the other side, the grass is green on the other side until you get there, and then when you get over there, there's all these potholes and big holes and everything. So that's why you know that your hand may not be as bad as the next person's hand.
That's right.
It's all relative. So it just, what are you comparing your hand with? Because maybe your hand may not be as bad as the next person's hand, or it could be better than someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
But it just depends on what you're using as a yardstick.
That's right. And I say that as well.
So, listen, let me say this. We have about 15 minutes to go in the show. And I want to say that you guys have been awesome because we've hit on some points that actually need to be looked at. First of all, being dealt a bad hand, we know we're talking about your life. How has your life been set up? What's going on in your life? And this is where we make mistakes. The mistake is my life should not be based on what your life is.
Mm-hmm.
We're all called to do different things at different times. You heard the old adage, different strokes for different folks.
Mm-hmm.
What I do and what I'm built to do is not what you were built to do. So your life quite naturally is going to be different from mine. The power you need to pull a truck, I might need the power to push the truck. So in essence, we're trying to actually be the same when we really need to learn how to be different.
it's nothing wrong with being different. Your life and my life, we can go down the same road, different as A and B, and still accomplish what it is we need to accomplish. So these are the sound things that we need to get in the heads of everyone. We need to encourage people all over. Wherever you are, be you. I hear this all the time on the young shows. Look at, you know, in fact, there's a little girl that's got a song on the radio, on the TV, that I listen to my with my grandbaby. Only you can be you, and I can be me. So we need to really learn and do that. But you find people that just try to copy everybody else. You cannot copy another person's life. You have to do you. What were you put here for? Do that. And if you do that, I promise you, we won't have anybody whining and making excuses that you were dealt a bad hand. And as coming to a close, just to give a conclusion to everything, I firmly believe that every hand in life is a potentially good hand. The key to it is how you look at it. And we need to learn how to look at our lives and know that, yes, it may be a bad hand to you, but I love the hand I was dealt. Because sometimes you have to have challenging situations. Yes, you've got to be able to appreciate. And I believe that we were all built, whereas our lives were formatted and fixed just for us. If it's not like yours, so be it. I'm going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to bluff until it works out. But I'm not throwing my hand in. That means I cease to exist. Mr. Motivator, come on.
Wow, you really put it out there, Lois. And I agree with you 100% on everything that you said. And I was thinking, you know, you're right. You have to believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in you. It reminds me of a song that the Temptations once used to play. It was just your imagination running away with you. It was just your imagination running away with you.
Okay. Now, I'm telling you, the Temptations would absolutely envy that voice. Now, I'm telling you, don't everybody write in, because you're not going to get an autographed copy of that song. Now, listen, Ms. Shannon, do you want to give us closing remarks from your perspective on being dealt a bad hand and what we're going to do with it? Anything you want to say in closing?
Yes, I would like to say that when you're going through something, it's hard to see the forest for the trees. But some of the old world cliches, like every dark cloud has a silver lining, things like that, that's true. Out of every bad situation, something can come.
Yes.
You can't have a good crop without a little fertilizer.
Yes.
Fertilizer stinks. We all know what that is.
Yes.
So just know that everything you go through in your life is a learning experience, and it's for you to be able to turn around and tell that person coming behind you who may be going through that same thing, look at me. If I can do it, you can. We have a politician on television now who put all her story out there. She said she had a baby at 16, ended up getting 2 jobs, going to school. Now she's in Senate. Wendy Davis is her name. Please let me just let you say right off the bat, I'm not backing her for any type of office. I'm using her story as an example. Her story is to let you know you can be a young teenage mother, but with a little determination and persistence, you too can, you know, graduate school, be great, be successful in a career, you know, have your child, and you don't have to be dependent upon society for everything. Now, that's just an example. But no matter what you've been through, no matter what it is. Because something that may not seem like a big thing to me may be a big thing to you. Just know that you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay. We're human. We're constantly evolving. We're constantly changing. And if there's one thing in life that's constant, it's change. It's change. And know that you have the ability to take your situation. You know, prayer works. You know, you may be in an abusive situation. He may not deliver you tomorrow, but just know, when it's time, you know, seek God. You'll have the answer. Whatever your situation is, whatever bad hand you think you've been dealt, you don't have to let that determine your future. Just because you perceive that this is the way life always has to be, you're incorrect. Without a little rain, you won't appreciate the sun. Without a little rain, there will be no growth. You have to have something that's able to show your determination and your persistence. Just make sure you utilize it.
All right. Thank you, Miss Shannon. Well, we're getting ready to come to a close. Louise, you have anything you want to say in closing before we close out everything?
If you do, come on.
This is, you know, truly an educational show tonight, and I really enjoyed being on your show tonight. And so I'm learning a lot of a lot that I'll be able to take with me.
All right. Come on, Mr. Motivator.
Well, also I'd like to say there are no bad hands. All of you that have tuned into the show tonight, realize that your hands are great and all you have to do is believe in yourself. But now, if your pastor, you had a foot washing ceremony at your church last month and your pastor made you wash Deacon Martin's feet, and they were a little scaly, and they had some serious problems. Now, your hands could be infected, so make sure you wash them and get them sterilized. Y'all know I'm a comedian.
Listen, you guys, Mr. Motivator makes us laugh all the time, but in actuality, laughter is good for the soul. Because if you find yourself with a pinched face all day long, we don't know what's wrong with you, so laugh sometime. Have a little fun. That's part of knowing that the hand you've been dealt is not that bad at all. And as we're saying, I thank you all for listening. I hope this has been informative to you, educational to you, and I hope it has started you to thinking about yourself and your situations, your friends, your loved ones, and even your enemies, because a lot of times your enemies just need you to come along and help them realize that their hands are not as bad as they think. One thing I can say to each of you, the wolf is always bigger standing at your door. But if you see him down the block, he's just a little bitty thing. But it's always bigger at your door. So understand that, and also understand that what we said in the beginning and our conclusion is that every hand is a potentially good hand. Every life that's been created by God, by the Master, I don't care what situation you've been brought up in, understand this. If you were brought up without a father or a mother or someone to nurture you, I grant you, God has put somebody in your path to make you feel or to experience the things you need to feel. He never abandons us, never. You may not like the fact that you didn't have your biological mother or your biological father, but God has put someone in your path that loves you just as much. A young lady asked me one time if I loved her. And I said, well, if I don't, I should treat you like I do. So we have to understand that. Ministering to people and loving people, nurturing people, and doing everything that they need to have done. And also understand that the thing that you have to do is stop comparing your life to someone else's. Stop comparing your life to someone else's. Your life is your life, and you were dealt a good hand.
just wait for my change, for your change to come. Because I believe that was Sam Cooke that sang that song, The Change Is Gonna Come. A change is gonna come. If you worried about the hand sitting around the table and they dealt you a bad hand of cards, wait for your change to come, because it is going to come. And I another thing that's going to come, our magazine, Let's Talk Truth, it's almost about to pop there and be put on the shelves, and I want y'all to be ready to receive it. I want y'all to be able to write in. You know what? We get emails every day, but I know we could get a lot more emails. Some of y'all email me on topics you want to talk about, or if you want to share any talk. And you can send the email to letstalktruth333@yahoo.com. That's let's without the apostrophe, letstalktruth333 @yahoo.com. And if you can also go to Twitter, it's letstalktruth@gmail.com. Just go to your Twitter, and then that way you'll be able to see all of our broadcasts, a post on Facebook, and they're also posted on the Twitter, so you guys can listen to it anytime. I'd love to have you listen while we broadcast. Eventually, we're going to work around to where you can talk to me while we broadcast. Say what you want to say. Work your neck if you want to, girl. It's not going to matter because we're going to love you anyway. So tonight we I really had fun. Thank you, Miss Shannon. Hopefully you'll be able to come back with us. You know, Shannon is getting past her bedtime, so she gets up early in the morning, like at 5 in the morning, but we still thank her for being here, and she's got to go home. Hopefully our limo. All right, thank you, Shannon. Thank you. Hopefully our limo driver is going to get you home safe and sound. She told me that my limo driver let all the windows down on her today so people could see who she was in the in the limo. But that's because he thought she was beautiful, I'm sure. And, and also we thank Louise, and we thank Mr. Motivator. Yes. Y'all have to tune in to the Mr. Motivator show every Saturday at 12 p.m. On the Blog Talk Radio. So we just thank you for thank y'all for being here. I enjoy you guys. And
thank
you. Yeah, we have like 2 minutes left. I want to thank our staff for being on point, our limo driver, our staff that keeps our green room stocked. Let's give them. So we have about, he makes sure he has all of the food set out, all of the ice, everything is chilled. And you guys, this is not champagne he's chilling. We just drink. We drink normal sodas and water and juices. So that's what he has. In the green room. Thank him for that, because he does a wonderful job. Okay, so we're going to bring this broadcast to a close. And as I say in parting every time, this is Let's Talk Truth. I'm your host, Lois, and here I am loving you with the heart of God.